Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. It's a getaway Friday, June the 26th, 2026, last Friday in the month of June, 6-26-26. A lot of sixes in this date. Finally here, joined in studio this morning by Matt Morgan. How you doing?
Doing pretty all right.
I bet you're really well rested this morning. Nice sleep in.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. And phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, we have something special coming up for the listeners next hour. I said this morning I wasn't going to talk about where we were last night, but tell people what happened.
So last night we had gone to Tony Paco's with Larry Barnett, and Larry signed a hot dog bun. So he is going to be on the wall with all the presidents.
Absolutely. Last night, you and myself and Sean all traveled to Toledo. Beautiful night to do that. It was beautiful weather last night. And Larry Barnett, legendary Major League umpire, signed a bun that will now be on the wall forever at Tony Paco's, the Toledo, Ohio tradition, right on the Maumee River. And it was a lot of fun. We all had good food. I had the traditional, which every time I go there, I get the traditional Tony Paco dog, which I think is good. It's the Tony Paco sauce with the onions and the mustard. I think that's what Larry had as well. You had some enormous amount of food.
I like food.
Yeah, but Jenna, it's always the chili.
It comes with chili.
But what did you order? It was like a big open face hot dog. I was looking at it.
It's just a hot dog platter. Like, it was just two hot dogs. With, it was just two of the hot dogs you had, except I had cheese. And then I had chili and mac and cheese.
Anyway, Larry and his wife, Mrs. Barnett, were there. She's a lovely lady, great lady. So next hour, we are going to have the audio of that, so stay tuned. Next hour, you'll get to hear that. And then we'll come back at noon and do the exchange, and we'll talk about what you heard, and hopefully you'll enjoy What happened last night. A lot of fun being up there with Larry.
I think so. Tony Paco is a nice place.
Larry is a very unique, fun guy. He's very fun to be around. He's got his own personality and just a likable. I think he would do anything for you. When we were leaving last night, he said, "Whenever you want me on the show, let me know." And Larry, we'll be back here. I have no doubts.
Well, that's good.
I don't know if they're listening this morning, but if you're listening out there, Larry and Sharon, thank you for last night. It was fun. Sharon went over to the gift shop, got some nice items.
I also went over to the gift shop.
You know, I'm depressed about the gift shop, though, because you and I went into the gift shop after Larry and Mrs. Barnett had left. And come to find out, they have Tony Paco baseballs for like $6.99. Now, we could have got a Tony Paco baseball and had Larry autograph it at Tony Paco's.
Yeah.
If only somebody had walked in the gift shop. Planning is everything. I know.
I just bought two pins.
Well, I did buy a baseball.
Oh.
I did. So, Larry, if you're listening out there today.
He's still going to sign a Tony Paco's baseball.
Well, of course. Of course. I think that's only right.
We just missed out doing it at Tony Paco's.
Yeah, I wonder if Mrs. Barnett got a baseball.
Oh, she left with a bag. She got something.
She did. She did. Well, hopefully she got some nice items. But you'll hear what happened last night at Tony Paco's coming up next hour. Now, there was a problem, though. We were a little late. We were like 20 minutes late. Now, do you want to tell people why we were 20? You were driving. Very nice of you to drive.
Well, it's not my fault. Okay.
Oh, now wait a second. Now I'm going to have to disagree with that in a moment, but go ahead.
Look, I used the GPS and set the GPS to Tony Paco's, and it took us 23 all the way there. So, like, we hopped off in Cary and then took back roads all the way to Tony Paco's.
I'll tell you, we saw the Dells of Ohio yesterday. We were off in areas, I don't know what, the Lucky. Have you ever been to Lucky?
Nope.
Well, I have. Yesterday, we were, I don't know where we were. I don't know. When you started to pull off in Cary, I knew there was trouble.
That's what the GPS said to do.
Right, but now tell the truth. On the way back, because after we got there, because Larry said, well, what in the world did you get off in Cary for? You know, he got there rather easily. When you put the route in to get back home, you did not have the fastest route checked. And the fast getting home was fine. We took 75 to 15 to 23 and got back here with no trouble at all. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, were you feeling lucky when you were going through Lucky?
No. We were behind these semis and cars on this two-lane highway. Nothing but the smell of...
I've been through Lucky, and I didn't feel lucky either.
Oh, my Lord. It was just dells and nothing out there but grass and farmland, and it was awful.
Well, that's where you need a Tesla to, you know, auto-drive and just kind of... sit back and scroll on your phone and all that and just enjoy the ride.
Well, you know, we were only off by about 20 minutes. Like I said, it took about 20 minutes longer because the slow traffic and the fact that there was no interstate where we were, and it was a little bit of a longer route. But
we got caught behind every semi known to man.
Yeah, out there in the woods.
Well, and again, you know, as you get older, you kind of understand that those things happen, and you kind of factor those things in your time, Matt. But, you know, you'll get there, buddy.
There we go.
Scott's the one who set the time to leave at 3:30. Tony Paco is an hour and a half
away.
Now,
wait
away,
a second.
Okay?
Now, I don't want to bring that. We did not leave at 3:30. Somebody was cleaning out their car.
Because nobody wanted to drive, so I had to drive.
Now, that's not true.
Look, the only other person who offered to drive was Larry.
Larry, I could have ridden with Larry. We would have got there at the same time.
But I wasn't about to make Larry drive all of us to Tony Paco's and back.
Well, he offered.
So if you offer to drive and you volunteer, or if you get cornered into it, Matt, you still got to get you there on time.
Hey,
Matt.
I got us there.
Got us there.
Yeah, on time.
Look, we weren't getting there on time anyways. It took an hour and 33 minutes per the GPS.
Now, wait a second.
If we left at 3:30,
if we left at 3, we would have gotten there.
At 5:03, still late, by like 5 minutes.
Three minutes. 3 minutes is better than 24 minutes.
Okay.
Do you understand this? I don't. The logic is terrible, but that's okay.
Right. Hey, on this tips thing, I just a comment on that.
Yes, go ahead. Oh, by the way, I tipped very well at Tony Paco's last night.
Well, and I'm sure the people there appreciate you.
I hope so.
I'm all about the tipping for waitresses or waiters at a sit-down restaurant, you know. My ex-wife was a waitress for a long time, and, you know, waitresses and waiters, they bust their ass, and they make a fraction of the minimum wage that is typically crap, you know, so they're making like $2 an hour or $3 an hour, you know, maybe more than that now. So I do tip well at a restaurant like that. I think a lot of the just generalized tipping is on everything. Doesn't matter where you go, you know, it's on there. You know, you want to leave a tip at the Duke station, you know. I think that came about during COVID and the mandates with people working, and I'm not trying to get into all that, but, you know, it was kind of, the thought was that, you know, they had to be there. They were risking their lives, so to speak, so maybe we should offer them a tip. I think the thought was good. I worked all the way through COVID, never stopped. I believe in natural immunity. I think I kind of think the Amish way of life on that is a good thing. You get out and you come in contact with different diseases and things like that, and you build your natural immunity. But I kind of noticed the tipping thing then. I don't dip it, and people get offended. I mean, like, you go to a Subway or you go to Duke Station, and they literally, like, look at you kind of offended that you don't. And my response to that, if people have ever said anything, is you're being paid the minimum wage. That's a choice you made. You know, people that get tips are, in my opinion, we've been conditioned in our society. It's marketing. I never understood why waitresses would accept that kind of wage. You know, it just never made sense. And it was always kind of like, well, as a restaurateur, as an owner, you're barely making any profit, and, you know, you're, the margins are so tight and all this, but yet the owners end up living in these big homes and driving these nice cars and having all this money, so it must not be so bad. So I just never understood. So to me, and I've learned or come to the conclusion, it's marketing. It's kind of like, you know, having the American dream is that we have a certain type of house, a certain, you know, wife, a certain lawn, a certain car and all that, and then we bust our asses making minimum wage or less than minimum wage as a waitress or whatever, trying to keep up with that. And it's all marketing. And the people that are making all the money are the elites that own the companies and can pay for the marketing, that can pay the lawyers to hire and buy the legislatures to write the laws to protect them, to be able to charge minimum wage. You know, I mean, it's kind of like with the whole Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all that. Love it, you know? But that's Coca-Cola. That's all marketing. And much of the stuff that we're fed, that we're led to believe is good for us, the American dream or whatever, has nothing to do with the product is good for us or it's the best thing for us. It's usually about it's cheap and easy to make and produce and get out there, and the profits are maximized, you know? So that's, again, it's kind of like the whole Vietnam thing. It's kind of like the Scotch-Brite chemicals, the Forever chemicals. You know, when you look back, or it's like tobacco and all that, when you look back and they have all these trials and hearings and all that, and it's asked why they never stopped when they knew, you can find the internal memos and all that, where they knew their product was detrimental to life and the environment and all that. And it always comes back to they were making so much money.
That's true. That's true. Media and marketing, it's all a big, big, huge thing. Absolutely.
Well, and I think we got to be careful with the follow the leader thing. You know, we as a society, we get into where we just want to be, we want to blend in. We want to be one of the lemmings. You know, you really don't want to be one of the lemmings, because at some point you get to the edge of that cliff and you're going over with the rest of them. You know, I mean, I would just encourage everybody to think, everybody to be unique. We all are unique. You know, even if we all, you know, I mean, the whole follow the leader thing. I mean, Scott, at one point in my life, I woke up, so to speak, and men, quote unquote, were walking around with their pants hanging down and their ass hanging out. And I thought, what the hell is that? What is going on with that? And then at some point in my life, I made mistakes in my own life. I made very poor judgments. I had poor coping skills, went through a lot, had things going on. And I went to prison for my drinking. And I discovered where that whole sagging thing came from. That was originally, was in prison, the people who hung out on Peter Beach, so to speak, that was in advertising. That was marketing. So you got to be careful about playing follow the leader. We once had, you know, many, many people in our society in America who believed in slavery, thought it was okay. You know, there was once a country called Germany that thought it was okay to exterminate 6 million people from one race, the Jews. So that follow the leader, and because everybody's doing it, we sometimes think, well, everybody can't be wrong. Yeah, they can.
This is true.
We get into groupthink, and we get into laziness, and we don't want a thing, so we pick out some smart guy or smart gal that we think is solid, and we listen to their crap. And guess what? If that person is solid, okay, maybe you get good advice. But if they've got an agenda, and everybody's got an agenda, and we end up where we are today. I mean, come on, people. Let's wake up. Let's think for ourselves. You know, if it feels wrong, if it sounds wrong, if it smells wrong, if it looks wrong, it's probably wrong. I'm sorry about getting on here and getting on my soapbox, but, you know, I mean, we got to wake up, people.
Yep, no problem.
Wake up, Matt. Got to get there a little earlier, buddy.
There you go. Well, you know what? Well, I'll talk about this more, but hey, thanks for calling.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye. You know, that has a way. We've had this conversation before, but I guess it's a good time for it. And the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. There is something now. Now, I don't know if this is a overlap with internet or what. Where, and I hate to say, I always hate when people say younger generation, but it does seem to be more of the younger generation, believes no matter what is going on, if things are not going right, the response is, it'll be okay. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Yes, nobody's going to drop dead. Nobody ever said anybody was going to drop dead. But what it does do with a lackadaisical approach to things is you inconvenience others. Now, is it going to be the end of their life? Probably not. But it's just an inconvenience to other people, which I don't think we should try to do in life if we can prevent it.
What's an inconvenience?
Well, like to call it being late, you know, things of that nature, holding people up, not doing things right. I think we do have a little more lack. That's what our conversations have been in the past on this, just a lackadaisical attitude of, you know, we need to do this better, but the philosophy, it'll be fine. Well, yeah, it'll be fine, but it won't be right, and it'll be late, and it'll be inconvenienced, but I guess other people really don't matter. Used to be courtesy.
Well, you know what they say. If you want something right, do it yourself. Do it yourself next time.
Well, see, I don't know what that means. See, again,
if you wanted to be on time to Tony Paco, you should have just left at 3. Should have just driven yourself. I would have been there late myself. I would have been late because I was late myself.
Well, I don't think it.
You could just, I mean, you could fire me. I could just never come back.
Well, see, that's.
I mean, like there are things you could do.
No, but why? What's the point of that?
I'm sure you could get somebody who comes in here on time.
I don't think that's the issue. Now that's interesting, though, because your response is take action. But your response in regard to the other things is it'll be fine.
Like what?
That's how I take it now. I think it'll be fine.
Like what?
Well, that's...
You said, like, the other things.
Yeah, when we would have this conversation before about things in general, like I would say, you know... I don't think this is just going to go as it needs to go. And you say, it'll be fine.
Because you just, I don't know, I think you just stress about things for no reason sometimes.
No. Because when you don't, things like that happen. And it's never really about yourself. I mean, I could have gotten there at midnight last night. It really wasn't about me. So that's not a big issue. It's just about others. And I think that's the idea behind it. That's all it is. I don't think anything reflected badly on me. I don't think anybody had any hostility toward me yesterday.
I don't know that anybody was hostile yesterday.
No, but our first caller was saying, you know, need to be on time for things. I was just going off of what they were saying. I'm fine with it. I'm just saying that's a general attitude that people have now that everything will be fine. And I don't know that, they'll be fine. The world's not going to stop spinning. But what is fine? Is there any courtesy in life, just in general? I'm not talking about yesterday altogether. I'm saying, is there courtesy in general? Go ahead, caller.
I'm sorry, I can't shut up here.
Hold on. We got Mary out here, too. Mary said, being late is a sign of disrespect, unless there's a very good excuse.
Yep, fire me. Okay. Disrespectful. Good.
Well, see, I don't know what that means to me, but go ahead, caller.
I think one of the toughest things you're looking for today is people who have I mean, people have work, people have businesses, and you can't get people to show up every day on time. That's so important, and I'm not picking on Matt. It's just the situation that has arose. We're talking about it. I mean, I go through this with my own sons and stuff. They're always like, eh, what's the big deal? We'll work a few hours later. Well, that's not, I mean, you know what I mean? Just people have that. When I worked with Marion Matters, you know, we worked with a lot of people, and we're, you know, you try to develop their skills, their social skills, and understanding their social capital and all of these things, and why they're not getting ahead in life. And the feedback, one of the things of feedback that we got from employers around Marion was that the soft skills of the workforce today are so lackadaisical that, I mean, in my career of working, you know, it was like 3 or 4 days a year that you would miss was the national average, and you weren't trying to get anywhere close to that. But today, everybody's worried about their PTO days when they get hired in. Everybody's worried about, well, man, I'm going to miss that or miss this event or whatever. And jobs are like easy come, easy go. I mean, it used to be really, really, really tough to get into Whirlpool. And I know people that have quit Whirlpool or been fired at Whirlpool and been rehired several times at Whirlpool. So that builds a, I mean, we start enabling people to say, well, you know what, they can get away with it. They start understanding, like, well, they need us more than we need them. And I think that's kind of a good thing because the workforce wants, you know, we need to pay our workforce better and treat them better.
Well, but, I'm not even sure that this is necessarily a work thing. I mean, it's just if you say, let's have lunch. Well, what time do you want to meet? Well, we'll meet at 3 o'clock. And then somebody doesn't show up till 3:30. You know, well, does the world keep spinning? Yeah, the world keeps spinning, but that person might have had plans at 4 o'clock
to
go do something.
Exactly. But see, people, the younger people, and I'm going to keep going with this, the younger people don't make plans, and they're always kind of like, eh, you know, if you're half hour late or whatever. I mean, I guess they're cool with it, you know, with their peers. In my world, like you say, I've got a lunch date with you. I've usually got my day planned out. I got to be here, be there. My mornings are open, obviously. I'm here on here yakking with you guys. But I think there's just a disconnect, and like with the work that I do in life, is I'm bidding work and this and that. How do I bid work? And I don't know from day to day whether I'm going to have 10 guys, 3 guys, 2 guys, because, I mean, there was something better for them to do, or they just, they don't take the whole getting there on time, like, oh, well, I guess you just have to hire somebody else. And again, this isn't an attack on Matt, but it's a problem, and it's worth discussing.
Well, it's interesting. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
But no, I don't really care about the work aspect of it. I just think in general it is interesting that, you know, let's have lunch. Okay, what time do you want to have lunch? Let's have lunch at 3 o'clock. Okay, you're there at 3 o'clock. Now, what do you do while you're what? Eat? Well, are they going to show up? Are they not going to show up? Now, maybe you've made plans with somebody else at 4, or maybe you've got to be somewhere at 4. Maybe you got an appointment at 4, and the person shows up at 3:30 as if nothing was wrong.
My point is simply, if I don't care and you care, then you should do something about it. Why would I do something I don't care about? If I'm late to work every day by like 7 minutes, but I'm over 15 minutes every day, what difference does it make? I'm still there 8 hours.
But isn't there a policy that you've got to be there on time?
Within 4 minutes?
4 minutes. So that's the problem, I would think.
Well, it used to be within 7 minutes, but then they changed it.
But I guess the bigger question...
And then I was late a lot.
Right. But I guess... So what is 3 minutes, I guess, is the point. I mean, why is it hard to get there 3 minutes earlier?
I mean, truth be told, I didn't leave my house any sooner or later. I just leave my house when I leave my house, and then I get to work when I get to work, and it's, you know, I'm either on time or about 5 minutes late.
It's just a funny thing with a lot of people these days. I mean, there's people on probation all the time.
Every day I'm about 15, 20 minutes working over anyways. I mean, I worked 10 hours the other day.
Right, but that's...
because we were down bad, and I always work, like, 15 minutes over. Because I'm just in the middle of doing something. I don't want to quit a task.
But why have a schedule, then?
I agree. Why have a schedule?
Well, because...
I come in 9 to 5 every day.
Well, right,
9 to 5 is good. Good hours.
Well, right, but that's not how work works. Somebody makes a schedule for you, and that's when you're supposed to be there. That's the idea. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I don't know what you've been talking about today because I haven't had the radio on, if you can imagine.
Oh, I can't believe you missed it. About. It's been fascinating today.
Oh, well, I have some suggestions.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it's back to the tornado siren.
Oh, yes, this has been a hot issue.
Okay, did we have more than one opinion, or is it you one person, they said you got to throw it away and start over? Did we ever check out with Marion Tech in their mechanical department and see if anybody out there knows anything about baling wire and duct tape? If it's 70 years old, it probably could be fixed. If it's 40 years old, it's probably junk.
Well,
have they had a second opinion or just somebody that's on the maintenance department at the city?
I don't know. As far as I know, it's a city electrician who has said that it's not repairable.
Well, okay, that's one. So did they ever check with anybody at Tri-Rivers to come and get a second opinion? It's just like we have a lot of resources here in this town that it seems like the city's too proud to use them. Like, Mary, you know, when... I can't think. Anyway, when they wanted to come and help with the bookkeeping or help them get all that mess, no, we didn't want that. We can't have them. Well, we're training people to be bookkeepers or accountants and so forth, so let's utilize them. Another thing, if we need this money, Charlie Evers, when the barn burnt down, somehow he got donations to get the barn rebuilt.
Well, now that comes back to sympathetic causes. You know, if a barn burns down that is being used for children at the fair, that's a much easier thing to raise funds for than, let's say, the homeless. You know, the homeless shelter always operates at a deficit in Marion, but yet the women's club has a, you know, I forget what the number is, but, you know, a lot of money they raise with one dance night. Now, you would think that the homeless shelter would not have trouble doing that, and yet they do.
Okay. Then another thing, apparently the whole city and county, or part of the county, has access to the tornado siren. Did they ever check about Whirlpool making the donation? Nucor making a donation, any of these companies, what would any of them could kick in $5,500 and it'd be a drop in the bucket?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I'm surprised nobody is trying to spearhead, if it truly is only $55,000 that they need, that nobody is trying to spearhead that, because when the money was cut off to downtown Marion, again, now I don't know if this is seen as a sympathetic cause or what, but you know, $50,000 was between $40,000 and $50,000 was cut off to downtown Marion from the city, and they were immediately trying to raise money, and I think did raise a good amount of money to try to replenish that fund so they could keep their downtown Marion manager. So
we're keeping the flower pots, but then we don't know about the
tornado.
That's
right. People have donated to keep the flowers downtown, but not the sirens.
Okay. Has anyone ever contacted Whirlpool, Nucor, Sims Brothers? Many of these. See, I can't remember all the
Poet. Places like that. Yeah.
Because apparently the tornado alarm utilizes everybody, whether it's in Whirlpool or wherever it's at. Has anybody ever spearheaded that, or Charlie Evers is the only one that calls, picks up the phone and asks.
Well, I think, again, I think he did that because he was well entrenched in the ag community. Because
I understand all of that. But the whole purpose was somebody, and I don't know who it would be, or are we too proud to go ask Pearl Pool for a donation?
I don't...
call up Nucor and ask for a donation, or Sims Brothers, or many other places here in town.
Well, see, I don't know how these donations are happening, because I can't imagine that these companies are just showing up saying, hey, we'll give you money for flowers. So somebody has to be doing that. And I don't know who is doing that and why in this case they would not be doing that, or maybe they are now. There are sympathetic causes. Now, there are a lot of things you can raise money for. Well, I mean, look at the dog collar here. I mean, that $5,000 we have to find a dog collar. Now, nobody's ever produced it, but if they did, they would get a $5,000 check. Now, you know, that wasn't hard to raise money for, and we went from $1,000 to $5,000 with that in the blink of an eye. So, you know, but that's history.
Well, apparently we don't have a city organization of the board, let's say, of the businesses in town. You know, where they get together once a month or once every 6 months or whatever. But certainly someone could reach out to, well, I don't know. I just think there's that kind of money is laying someplace that everybody wouldn't mind kicking in just a little bit, because it's utilizing for everybody in Marion. It's not just downtown Marion.
Well, it's interesting. When I started in radio, and I'm not sure how many years it went on, but the Red Cross did a radiothon every year. Every year there was a Red Cross radiothon. Now, I don't remember what the totals were, but they were pretty good. And, you know, Red Cross is right in the same area here as a tornado siren. So, you know, again, it's who's doing it, why are they doing it, what's the purpose? I think a problem right now, well, I don't know. You know, city council says they did not even know that the administration had turned down the grant money. Who made that decision? Why did they not, when they knew they needed $55,000, why didn't they go to a business first before they turned down the money? I don't know.
Well, yeah, that doesn't make any sense either. But like I said, did they get a second opinion of how bad a shape that alarm's in? Or just that the local technician went up there and looked and said, or did they get a second opinion? My God, the town's full of electricians.
Right. I you know, it's a good question. There also another problem here. They're in charge of that. And it's hard for an outside group to come in. I mean, you could say you're going to give them money. I'm sure that would be fine. But it's hard for an outside group to spearhead a donation fund for a government. I don't think anybody could do that. I think that would be very difficult.
But couldn't they go to, like I say, we have Tri Rivers, which everybody in the state of Ohio admires Tri Rivers, except the city of Marion.
Well, the college, same thing.
Right. And it's almost like we're too proud to ask.
For some things. We're okay with asking for the flowers. We're okay with asking for the downtown Marion management. We're okay with asking for scholarships to the rec center. But, you know, but again, those are sympathetic causes. Those are kids going to the rec center. Those are beautification of downtown Marion.
Beautification. That's wonderful. But because this has been kind of going through my head, I thought, well, first off, they need the second opinion of how bad a shape that thing's in. And if it's been up there for 70 years, it was probably made with steel and iron. And I would just say that baling wire and duct tape might fix it. And maybe there's just one little, you know, one man don't know everything. So I guess we need a second opinion on what's really wrong with the damn alarm.
We might. Well, you know, I'm sure somebody's going to ask the question somewhere along the line, and I'm sure, you know, you've got a safety service director, you've got a city electrician. I think they could probably call an engineer. I think they might do that. So I don't know. I think one of the problems is you know, they can't say they're going to fix it right away, because where would they come up with the money, even if it was fixable?
But maybe it doesn't cost that much money to fix a damn thing. It's been going for 70 years. And besides that, is the noon siren connected? Because it don't work anymore either. So is the noon siren connected with the fire or the tornado siren?
I think so.
Well, then when the noon siren quit going off, didn't somebody wonder?
Well, I don't know.
Scott, you use that phrase way too easy.
Well, it's true. I'll tell you, it's very interesting how little, and again, you can chalk it up to whatever you want. It's amazing how little information comes out of this administration. And when it's a city device or it's something controlled by the city, that's who you have to go through. And I said, I started the show this morning by saying, I'm not saying anything nefarious went on. Maybe they just have terrible timing. But when you don't talk to the media and you don't give out a whole lot of information, the information I got about the siren not working didn't come from the administration, I'll tell you that. It came from somebody else. So
what are we spending all that money for up there, those guys in the peanut gallery? Are we just going to the meeting and the mayor's telling him what's what? You know, the mayor would make it a lot easier on himself if he started delegating out to somebody else.
Well, it's you never know, and I think that's the problem, that I had to get the information about the siren not working. Did that come from the mayor's office? Did that come from the safety service director's office? Did that come from the city? No. It came from a private source.
But then again, Scott, if the noon whistle and the tornado thing are connected, which I'm not sure they are, because the noon whistles went forever, years and years and years. The tornado siren hasn't gone for years and years and years. But so when the noon whistle quit working, I mean, all of a sudden you say, man, wonder where the whistle's at.
Well, that's a good question, too. Maybe somebody will know who's out there listening.
Well, I would certainly think they would get a second opinion and then go around and ask these businesses, because they utilize every bit about the tornado. So,
yeah, not
well,
a bad.
Scott, so much. I'm trying to doctor my leg, so you take care.
Hey, thanks for calling, and keep listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Matt, you haven't talked about it this week. What do you think about the siren situation?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think that the sirens are all that great. I mean, they're cool and all, I guess, but I don't know. You could just look up. I mean, if you see storm clouds, it's probably going to storm. If you see a funnel cloud, there might be a tornado. We don't get alerts for blizzards. We don't get alerts for, like...
Well, I don't think they're that quick.
Like, so, I mean, I don't know.
You do have to give people some kind of a warning, because a lot of people get killed.
It's not like it's bright, clear day, and the next thing you know, it's pouring down rain and thundering. I mean, you see the clouds coming in.
Yeah, but a rainstorm is different than a funnel cloud. You know, a rainstorm is not going to do you a whole lot of damage. A tornado might.
Yeah, but that's why you look for a funnel cloud. Or if you don't want to be out in the rain, look up. Is it going to rain? Do you see the rain clouds? No, then it's probably not going to rain. And if it does rain, then it's probably going to sprinkle.
But what portion of the public do you think runs out every time it's raining, parks the car on the side of the road and gets out and looks around to see if there's a funnel cloud somewhere? And how you might not even see it if it's gray or cloudy. So it's right up on you. A little too late then.
I've definitely seen funnel clouds. I mean,
I'm telling you, we have emergency alert systems for a reason.
Never seen a tornado, but I've seen funnel clouds at least.
Right. No, I'm saying we have emergency alert systems for a reason. Now, all of a sudden we become better than that? Oh, no, well, we don't need that anymore.
Well, I mean, they have a use. I'm not saying they're not useful.
Well, that's the point. I think these ideas.
I mean, it's like you brought up the other day about the rail on the train tracks. You know, like people run the guardrails all the time. What difference did it make?
Right, but the first time you take them down and somebody gets smashed, they'd say, "Why weren't there guardrails there?" Go ahead, caller.
I mean, blizzards come through, and you've said this. Everybody keeps going to this. We don't have alerts for blizzards. Come on, people. Blizzards take days, hours. It's a slow process. It meanders through and all of that, okay? The purpose of a siren is to benefit from all of the technology that we have today, like Doppler radar and all of that kind of thing, that would then inform whoever's pushing the button on the siren at, you know, 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 12 minutes or 3 minutes, because tornadoes pass through. They come and go, and they pass through in a matter of minutes. It's not a meandering process.
By the way, from one of our listeners out here this morning sending a message, this is a true fact, too. A lot of storms happen at night.
Are you going to wake up to those sirens?
People do.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I would not be waking up to those sirens.
That's kind of the idea of why it's a siren.
That's the whole thing. That's
sleep.
I guess if you're going to die, I don't want to wake up either.
Yeah. So if you sleep through it and get killed, I guess you won't know. But for the people who did hear the siren,
what you don't know won't hurt you.
Well, but
and you don't want to go hide in the basement or in under the doorway or in your bathtub with every storm. Not every storm. You just look out and say, "Oh wow, it's dark clouds, and that one's spinning a little or swirly a little bit, so I better go do this."
Right, and also
it's the same theory behind the whole missile thing, which originated these sirens. There was minutes before they detected they were launched to when they were going to impact. So it was to give us a chance to run to that bomb shelter, to run to that basement, to run to that roof cellar. Like, remember in The Wizard of Oz, the ones that didn't get swept away out of Kansas were in the roof cellar.
Well, I think one of the other points at night is you're not going to see a funnel cloud in a dark sky. Even if it's
right.
If it's 8 o'clock at night and it's dark and it's April, you're not going to see it.
I mean, what's the point of if you're out driving and it's the middle of winter and you've got your windows up, you've got your radio on and all that, and guess what? You can faintly hear, woo, woo, woo. You start looking around, don't you?
Well, and
you start looking around because there's either a cop pulling you over or there's an ambulance coming by and you need to get the hell out of their way.
Why do people pay attention to those sirens? But no, I just didn't hear that.
Right, and do you always hear them? There's times I don't hear them because I got the radio up too loud. I like to rock and roll. But you don't get rid of them. I mean, because we could save a hell of a lot of money, you know, if we just quit putting those damn sirens on top of those cars. And we just we'll give you an app. Here,
you get an app that the police are coming down your road.
It'll go off on your phone.
By the way, from a listener, tornadoes can pop up as fast as 5 minutes, and the person is hearing impaired, and the warning signs still wake her up. Sirens. So, there you go.
And again, like the whole emergency vehicle thing, it's something that's coming through right now. It's a quick thing. It's bam, it's going. So, you need to look now. It's not, you don't put a siren off like, hey, we're going to have this winter storm that's going to dump, you know, 12 inches of snow over a 32-hour period. I mean, come on, Matt, buddy. I love you, dude. You're a smart guy, but
It's a bad comparison. I don't know why people keep making that comparison.
It's a losing argument.
Yeah, that's a horrible comparison.
That's a losing argument.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know why people are. I'd better compare it to a siren on an ambulance. I don't know where this blizzard idea and a tornado siren. Tornado can be here in 5 minutes from now. A blizzard even if that snow is pouring down, is going to take 12 hours to be considered a blizzard.
I don't know. I just don't care about the sirens, I guess. If other people care about the sirens, then fix the sirens.
They do.
Okay, then fix the sirens. Problem solved. Boom.
Well, I don't think it is solved because we don't have the money to fix the sirens, which is what this whole conversation is about.
$55,000. You can come up with $50,000. You had a party in the park for what? $20,000 plus $20,000 private money?
Did the safety service director not get up on
money? They just don't care.
All right, 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, Scott, one thing about those sirens are they come on all the time. Out of 100 times, there's never nothing.
That's true.
You know, you get the point where you don't even really pay attention to it.
Well, see, I think they do, though, because that's what you remember. You remember they went off 100 times, but nothing happened. It's just a warning to alert you. You don't have to do anything if you don't want to.
No, but too many times, I mean, if something is happens too often, you don't pay attention to it. That siren should be for stuff that's immediate, and it's here.
Yeah, but you know, the one time, they get that from Cleveland. That is coming from the National Weather Service. The people in Marion are not controlling that. So when the people in Cleveland have a funnel cloud spotted in Cary or Fostoria or Findlay, they have to set them off. That's the idea. And the one time they didn't set them off because they said, well, you know, it doesn't look like it's coming this way, and then it comes and 40 people are dead and they didn't set off the siren, well, then you got a problem.
Well, that could be too, but I just really don't pay attention to it anymore because they go off over nothing.
Well, we got to take a break, but we'll talk more about this morning. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. We've got much more programming coming up here on WGH Talk Radio, and the siren talk continues as it has all week in all the periodicals. We'll be back after this.
For guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had.